Big edition of the Front Bar tonight. Mick, Sam and Andy, 8:30 on Channel 7, joined by our guest in the studio, Ben Cousins.
Good morning.
Wow.
Ben.
Morning.
Ben, it's so nice. This is the first time I've ever met you, the first time you've been here on the show. And I've genuinely been excited all day about you coming in because I've known you as a player. I've known you forever. And I want to say this. I'm probably saying this on behalf of a lot of people listening. It is so good to see where you're at the moment.
Yeah,
see that you've turned things around. You look fit, fabulous. We know that you're going to be on Dancing with the Stars, which we can't wait to see. But just well done.
Yeah,
you've really turned
thank
it
you.
Around.
It's been a while coming. It has, but life is good at the moment. So busy working, happy. You know, so
got a good facial surgery, dude, because you look like you're about 28 years old. How good does he look?
Maybe it's because I look so bad before.
Hey, now we know each other. We know each other very well. And I remember I'm going to bring this up. I've never told this story public and I've never, ever been worried about anyone. You know, I just cruise along. We cruise along. We don't care about much. But there was a night. It was after one of my best mates' engagement party, Chrissy Newman, and you were down from Perth, and we were at Crown, and I was not there with Ben, and I was going upstairs, I was staying at Crown, and Ben hopped in the lift. I was like, "G'day, mate, how you going?" He's like, "Good." He goes, "Oh,
the Kings of Crown."
He goes, "Something, the Kings of Crown, and something had happened with your car, your rental or something, and you couldn't get to the airport, you missed your plane, and you said, can I stay with you tonight?"
It did happen every now and then.
Yeah.
You missed the odd flight.
You missed the odd flight. So I said, yeah. So we went up to our room on the 33rd floor and you had a couple of phones. You kept taking the battery out and you were charging the battery. And I'm like, are you all right, mate? And he's like, I just don't know. And we sat there all night and I didn't go to sleep because I was a bit worried about Ben. And we sat and chatted for about 7 hours until you left the next morning. And we got in deep to some stuff. And I couldn't believe how worried I was about you. You were worried about me. And two cooked units sitting there, chewing the fat, talking about life. How did you turn it around? Because you've turned it around.
It did. It's hard to sort of
put it in a nutshell.
One thing, unfortunately, I do think when I think about it now, I do wish that it didn't have to run its course the way it did, and it wasn't through lack of wanting to turn it around at times, but it's just a complicated thing. But I do remember the night fondly. We've always had a good time when we've caught up. But, you know, like you say, you know, I wasn't going, you know, that well at the time.
I wasn't either.
But, you know, I do give it to you. Even after that night, I think there was a number of times where, I either received the call personally or someone close to me did from Fev who would call up just to make sure, you know, I was going all right. And, you know, we're good mates, but, you know.
I didn't want to say that.
You've got a good heart and want good things for other people.
Probably the next year and a half, I reckon I'd ring him once or twice a month just to see how he was going.
Yeah.
And we didn't really hang out often, but I'd just call him. I remember I was playing golf at one stage in between a hole. And I just rang him. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm playing golf. He goes, why are you ringing me for? I said, I'm just checking in. I'm having a dart. I'm waiting for the next hole. You've done a great job.
Yeah.
And it's a credit to you and all the people out there listening that are going through issues. You know, they can always turn it around.
Yeah. It's life is so much better. And, you know, when you strip it all, I've said it before, but when you strip it all back, it just gets back to, you know, what makes you happy or whether you. And for a long time, I wasn't, you know. There was huge parts of my life there where, I wasn't working, but I wasn't on holidays either.
Mm.
And, now it's just, life is so much about all the things I'm getting back in my life opposed to anything I'm supposed to be giving up or going without. It's not about that.
And you are, and we know, obviously dancing fit, but you have the Benjamin Buttons about you. Like you could walk onto the MCG this weekend and everyone would just assume you're one of the young guys playing. Mm. Where are you with footy? Are you playing?
I'm amazed about, Feb was telling me off air before that he just kicked 8 on the weekend. And I never thought for a long time I would ever play after I finished. I did the first time I ended up playing a game at all. So charity or anything was when I was locked up, and they do love their footy in there. And
like the longest yard.
Yeah. Well, the first two times I went in, I avoided the footy. I thought this could be more trouble than it's worth. And then the third time
lucky.
I got talked into it and I loved it, you know, and it was, we had some fun, and then I played a handful of games and enjoyed that. And then since then I've played a couple of charity games and then went and did a pre-season with a local amateur footy club in Perth. And, you know, I probably wasn't at the time quite ready to get back into full-time work, but I sort of needed to get out of my own way. And I went down. I didn't have any prior involvement with this footy club before going down, so it was good for me. You know, it was around
getting around the boys,
having a kick at the footy, which I've always loved, but, you know, I had to get out of my own way and meet new people and out of my comfort zone a little bit. And it was even for me, just a great reminder of the important role that footy clubs play in people's lives. Mm. And I'm convinced that, like they say, they, you know, enjoyed having me down there, but I'm convinced that I got more out of being down there for, you know, than they got out of having me down there. You know, it was good. But I did, in 10 minutes into my second game, I tore my hammy.
Oh.
And then I spent 2 weeks away from training trying to sort of just, you know, be able to walk without any pain. And then my first night back at training, I thought I'll just do 2 laps warm up, you know, and I'll just hop out and just stretch. So I did the 2 laps, and then they sort of broke off into the short crisscross handball. I thought, oh, I could probably join in with a few handballs. And then they stretched it out to about 10 or 15 meters where they're doing just a short kick. And I thought, I'll just have a couple of kicks on my other leg. And then I did the quad in my other leg. So I had the hammy one leg, quad in the other, and I never looked like it for the rest of the year.
I'll give you another lesson, Ben. I've been retired for 14 years and I've never trained once, and I've played nearly 200 games afterwards.
We went to all the clubs he's played for. Yeah, don't train, don't stretch. The Brendan Favola method.
That'd be sort of flip my whole approach to footy. And I do a 180. Maybe that's what it needs, yeah.
Ben, you just mentioned when you got locked up, and that's another credit to you to be able to turn this around. And I know we had someone on the show yesterday who was in maximum security in the States, and we're asking him about what that, because I've seen all the docos. But I wanted to know this when you went in. Is there respect, or are they like is it tall poppy syndrome? Is it, here he comes, footy player, we'll cut him down? Or did they go, it's Ben Cousins?
No, there was a bit of everything, really. Yeah, you know, it's a pretty, if you haven't been there before, it's one of those things. Until you're in there, you don't really know what to expect. And
got a scuffle one stage, didn't you?
Yeah, a little one. Yeah. And sort of, at some stage, that will probably find you, no matter who you are. Mm. And you sort of you probably can't get anybody else to do your time. You've got to do it yourself. But, you know, you meet sort of people from all walks of life. And, it's the novelty wears off pretty quick.
No one cares about your brand right now, mate.
You sort of do it, yeah. But you make the best of a tough situation, And you find a way. Yeah.
Now you're on the front bar tonight, which is a great show. You've got a couple of comedians on there and Andy Maher. How do you feel going back into the media and how everyone's accepted you back in the media? Because you're doing a lot over in Perth with Channel 7. You're doing something with HIT as well. I think you're doing some stuff, which is great.
More and more, with time, I must admit, I say this often, a week before I started, this is a couple of years ago now, I was trying to get out of it. I was thinking, because it was coming from a song so far back and didn't necessarily think that I just, you know, belonged there or, you know, should have been there. And they've, you know, Channel 7 have been fantastic. They really have. They've welcomed me back in and, you know, I work very closely with Adrian Barrich, who's sort of taken me under his wing. I grew up going to watch Dad play and train, and Barra played with Dad. So I've known him since I was probably two, and he's been fantastic. And, you know, don't take it too seriously. I love following the game and keeping an eye on what's happening with that. So to be able to do that as part of what I'm doing for a living is a luxury. So
because you are normally a very shy person, you keep to yourself, you never really got out into the media. So, and you've been doing a great job now with your footy club, West Coast, and all your teammates, have they accepted you back? How do they, because I've seen a lot of footage where you're with them and they're just, everyone's getting around you. How's that support been for you?
Oh, listen, you know, the mates you make along the way, it's what you leave the game with, you know, and, you know, probably for a long part there, it's easy to isolate and sort of, you know, not put yourself in as many situations as you normally would to, you know, to catch up and spend time. And, you know, in the last few years, I've spent more time, you know, down at the Eagles watching training or, you know, catching up. Or,
probably,
you know,
get a game there now.
Yeah. talking on the phone about footy and whatever's happening, you know. And I whenever I come to Melbourne, you know, I'm hooked in with the Tiger lads. And I love it, you know. Yeah. It's been such a big part of my life. You'd be the same. Yeah. And, you know, it's... you know, I miss the locker room, banter and the humour, and, you know, it's something that I never thought I'd find with Dancing with the Stars, but, you know, they're really what, it's a great bunch of people that I did it with, and, you know, the green room or the guys' change rooms, you know, it had that locker room feel to it, a footy change room, and we had a laugh. It was often at our own expense and that, but I miss it, and it reminded me of how much I missed it because of how much I enjoyed it with that. So, you know.
Mate. Well, we can't wait. Dancing with the Stars, cannot wait for that to come with Sonia and Dr. Chris Brown.
Yeah.
We get to see him on Dancing. But obviously tonight, Mick, Sam and Andy, the front bar, 8:30 with Ben Cousins. And Ben, again, everybody loves a tale of redemption and someone turning their life around. So well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show.